Medical Education Podcast listeners, this is Kevin Eva again, the editor-in-chief from the journal, and today I'm speaking with Margaret Bierman, who's at Monash University in the Health Professions Education and Educational Research Unit in Melbourne, Australia, and we're going to spend some time talking about a paper that she's co-authored with Philip Dawson that's coming out in the March issue of Medical Education 2013, and it's entitled Qualitative Synthesis and Systematic Review in Health Professional Education. First of all, Margaret, thank you for making the time to speak with me. I'm looking forward to it, even though I know you're torn by school break with kids and everything else at home.
Yeah, well, I hope the listeners don't hear my children in the background, and hopefully we won't as well, too. But thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous is actually a good word for the paper as well. I think this is a topic that, as much as the field has moved largely beyond the qualitative versus quantitative debate, there's still a lot of work to be done on both sides of that dichotomy, for lack of a better word, to understand how to raise the standards of rigor and how to make sense of the extensive literature that's growing up within our field. So maybe I can just start by asking you why this is a complex enough issue that you thought it necessary to write about how to summarize qualitative studies.
I think it is two things. I think it is a very complex issue. I also think that it's everywhere. Qualitative synthesis occurs all the time, and I don't think that we give it sufficient consideration, as we almost subconsciously do it and sometimes overtly do it as well too. So there are two big reasons. The other thing with issues that you raise about rigor and so forth, I think, is really important as well too. I know in some ways the paradigm to some extent is over, but to another extent it isn't. People tend to end up in a place that they feel most comfortable with, you know, talking about complexity. And the thing about qualitative synthesis is it's an incredibly broad church. And within that spectrum, there are places where your inherent belief about what constitutes evidence and data and research, where that all sits, probably dictates a little bit about how you view qualitative synthesis. So that also is part of the reason why I think it's so complex.
Well, it does seem to cut right to the root of some of the fundamental tensions, I might describe them as, between those who are trained and focused on quantitative paradigms versus qualitative, in that one of the core issues tends to be generalizability. A value to many qualitative areas is that it's about richly understanding a particular domain without worrying about whether or not this domain or this particular context generalizes to the next one. So how does one overcome that challenge with trying to synthesize across many qualitative studies and that richness without abstracting to the point of losing what the strength of the methodologies provide in the first place?
I think that's why there has to be so many qualitative synthesis methodologies, because the tension is inevitable. It's what makes it interesting, and you can, I believe, you overcome it in some ways at some points and in other ways not well. So that it's more managing the tension rather than overcoming it. So that I think that generalizability will never be achievable, that you can pull out what is most relevant for you at that moment and to see what lessons you can learn from it at that point in time. And in some situations that may be a very theoretical understanding. In some instances it may be a very applied understanding. It depends on the sorts of research, and it depends how and why you're trying to pull things. So in qualitative methodologies, and this is one of the other drivers to work on this paper, is I think a lot of work is driven from a very methodologically pure place. And if you're, for want of a better word, a strongly qualitative person, someone who really sits closely in that qualitative paradigm, sometimes people who work very practically have difficulty in understanding what the interest or the relevance of that work is. And a lot of the work that's been published, not all of it, and particularly not in healthcare, but certainly within the broader qualitative synthesis arena, it can seem a little esoteric, even though I personally love it. I appreciate it can seem a little esoteric to those who are not in that space.
Right. You commented on the diversity of methods and methodologies, and that I think naturally leads to the notion that there can't be one single qualitative synthesis methodology, and I know in your paper you explore three, and I'll just label them for the listener who might not have come across the paper yet, but thematic analysis, meta-ethnography, and realist synthesis. Given that we don't have enough time for you to go into great detail about any one of those, can you give us a sense of what factors might steer you one direction or another, or choose
Sure.
one and give us a sense of what you're advocating in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of the reason for the structure of the paper was to choose three concrete things, and I think we used three examples to hook them on. And I think that meta-ethnography and realist synthesis, as you can tell from the sound of their names, they're quite in-depth and considered methods. Thematic analysis, which is probably what I'll talk about a bit more, is something that we use all the time. And this comes back to that point about qualitative synthesis is something we do constantly, even when we're not thinking about it too much. A lot of people use thematic analysis. You read through some work, you extract the themes, you summarize the paper, if you like, through those, or the work that you're reading through those themes, almost without thinking about it. It's a form of synthesis we're really familiar with, and it can be done very rigorously, in which case we're less familiar with it, or you can use the term thematic analysis to do what I'm talking about. It's almost an umbrella term that's used incredibly loosely. So to me, in some ways, that's the most interesting of the techniques, because it can mean just about anything to everyone. And I think most readers of medical education, of the medical education literature, health professions literature, would be familiar with a thematic analysis and a few themes that are produced.
So, if I understood correctly, what we would generally, and at a low level experience, just in reading through the literature and forming impressions, would be a non-rigorous, non-systematic approach to thematic analysis, whereas I think what you're suggesting is that with that piece you might much more systematically and deliberately go through the literature and code it in ways like you would a series of transcripts if you were doing interviews?
Absolutely, but what I think the problem with thematic analysis is sometimes I feel that when I read qualitative syntheses, particularly within systematic reviews, or people say, oh, we did some qualitative analysis to pull out the main themes, we don't know how far along that rigorous spectrum the work has occurred, because the reportage might be very rigorous, but it's usually just a tagline, thematic analysis revealed. And I'm sure I'm guilty of that as well too. You know, there's sometimes word limits, or you're trying to get a point across and you don't stop and indicate how it is you actually came to that point. And if you've never used qualitative methods before, and a lot of people haven't, many readers will not have done thematic analysis in a more rigorous sense, coding transcripts, pulling out themes, all that kind of stuff. So I do feel it's really important that this methodology, which seems at face value very simple, something perhaps we're all familiar with, either as punter readers or as basic researchers, deserves a little bit more time and thought as to how it's presented and what it actually means.
And how would you contrast that, or what would you say is the defining contrast between that and the higher order approaches that you mentioned, the meta-ethnography and the realist synthesis?
I think meta-ethnography is a methodology which really draws from a fundamental perspective of the world about things being contextually based and deeply seen through the individual lens. And so meta-ethnography comes from a deeply qualitative paradigm. And it's therefore a lot more rigorous, in some ways a lot more contextually bound, and it's also much more, in my view, about deep theories and deep interpretation. Quite different to thematic analysis, which in many ways is just used as a summary mechanism. You're trying to summarize the points of the study. And then on the other hand, you have realist synthesis, and I really like realist synthesis, and I've not done it, so I need to declare that. But in reading it, what I really enjoy about it is it's coming from a very clear place. And realist synthesis, it's about trying to find solutions to problems. It really comes from, if you like, the health services research paradigm. We know we have this data, we know lots of studies have been done. How can we find out across all of this what's going to work in a particular context? How, in this particular area, at this particular moment, what does the evidence suggest that I should do, taking into account my context and the context of all the studies? So it's a completely different form of question, and it combines qualitative and quantitative data to form what I think would be best called an evidence synthesis. So these three things together form a real contrast of the various places that you can move to and the purposes. Realist synthesis attempting to answer very specific, tight questions.
This is one area where the distinction between the quantitative and qualitative really does start to blur together, because you're using numbers and qualitatively summarizing them, or vice versa in some situations. Maybe I can end by just asking you your perspective on whether or not there is or could ever be some sort of hierarchy in terms of what form of synthesis is most rigorous, or is it just one of these situations where it's completely dependent on the specific questions and the specific context you're trying to grapple with?
I would say I don't believe in the hierarchy, mostly because I think that, unfortunately, in some ways, with the multiple aims of these types of synthesis methods, they really cut across each other. They're really trying to do quite different things. So I think a fitness for purpose is probably a better way of looking at it. And those qualitative notions of rigor as well, which within the fitness for purpose are about making sure that the checks and balances are in place, intertwined with the approach that's been taken. That is to say, this is such a tricky thing about qualitative methods. What is rigorous for one thing may not really be incredibly rigorous for another. Again, it's thinking work. You've got to sit and think and look at it and find the reasons that there are to trust in the data. See, now I'm really sounding like a qualitative researcher. I'm using terms like trust, and I can't give a straight answer about hierarchies. So for me, it is really, you go back to your first principles of qualitative research, which is really about context and fitness for purpose, rather than that quantitative notion. But having said that, of course, there is better and there's worse. It's just very difficult to place into a set hierarchy.
And better and worse within methodology, as opposed to the methodologies that are necessarily better.
For many within healthcare, they will find that hierarchy, because I think that if you look at the evidence synthesis literature, there is more of a sense towards that, because you are looking towards saying this will work, this will produce a measurable and better result. And if you're coming from that world, then I think there will be a hierarchy. But if you're like me, you swim the qualitative seas, it's difficult to make that assessment. So the hierarchy will exist for some.
Right.
But it's not going to be universal. The hierarchy isn't generalizable.
Right. Let me assure you that I wasn't trying to lead you down a garden path. I share your view and just thought we should have some explicit conversation about whether or not this was a paper that was arguing that there are right ways to do these things and wrong ways. And I think your paper very nicely lays out the idea that there are strengths and limitations for many of the approaches you've considered. And again, I'll just refer our listeners to the details in that work. As a reminder for our listeners, I've been discussing a paper entitled Qualitative Synthesis and Systematic Review in Health Professional Education. The first author, Margaret Behrman from Monash University, and it's being published in the March 2013 issue of Medical Education. Thank you, Margaret, for taking the time to chat with me again. I'll look forward to hearing further discussion as your paper comes out.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.